the shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. And with us this week is a super cool lady, a broadcaster, a showrunner, a comic, a writer, a mom. How many other, like, semicolons after
avid
your name?
Napper.
Avid napper. I'm like, what's an avid napper?
I don't know.
You know how to do something I've never even heard of.
Wow, is that like spelunking?
That's exactly what I thought. I was going to say,
so much less cardio involved.
Oh, good.
We should go play Balderdash.
Oh, we should. That would be a good game for that.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
Mid-lighting?
That's perfect. Love it. Just got sexy in here. Mm-hmm.
Joe Dvorak is here.
I'm here.
Yay.
Did I forget to say your name?
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should know.
Your reputation precedes you.
Yeah.
Literally.
We talked about you on the podcast last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because we went to the Sunshine Coast and did Story Story Lie with my mother.
Yes.
So that was very nice.
The other Joe.
Yes.
The other Joe. Yeah, that was so fun.
I was so worried,
and that turned out so great.
Yeah, I was complimenting you on your hustle of, like, you got everyone's numbers because they were texting you the results, and then just, like, you immediately set up a date with Persephone right after, and then just, like, texted everybody, like, hey, if you like that, the next show is blank time. I'm like, what hustle? And, like, you probably stayed up late, and you still did that anyway.
No, I drank. And you and I ended up in the back, because I don't drink before I go on stage.
Yes.
Because I don't speak very clearly, and I speak even less clearly when I've had beer. So, but usually what I do, because I enjoy having a beer when I work so hard.
Especially if it's being held at a delicious
craft
brew farm.
It was being held at a freaking brewery, and they ran out of kombucha, so I'm like, what am I supposed to drink?
How could they run out of kombucha when you're there, especially, Chris? That's a special crime.
I didn't even get any.
It was really sad.
I didn't even get to try any.
But the brewery was amazing, the people were amazing, I love that business. I seriously am considering just getting rid of everything and just moving there and working there because they were so great.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, so with my shows, because there's always audience participation involved, and I really like the idea of connecting, because when I first moved to Vancouver, I didn't really connect with anybody, so what I want the show to be is about people in the audience connecting with the performers and myself and each other, and we've had, like, a few stories of people making friends in the audience, and, like, they come to a show, like, 6 months later, and they're like, we're still hanging out, and we met at your show.
That's so nice. I didn't know that at Story Story Lie, you also ask questions of the performers, and so that, like, gets the audience so into it. Like, in Gibson's, they were just, like, ooh, figuring stuff out, and, like, one table was, like, people who didn't know each other were, like, working on the mystery together.
Yeah.
Which was super cute, so that's a really nice way to bring folks together.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And we totally welcome searching things up on your phone. Like, you're welcome to. People were Googling, because we had two actors talking about working on shows, and we welcome them, like, check out.
Do your research.
Find out if Carmen Electra really was in Scream 4.
Yes,
like, those
she
were.
Was.
Yeah, she was. But it was great. Like, that's a great component of it.
Yeah.
But I want people, I get really bored if I'm just sitting there watching something. I need to be involved.
That's a really good point, actually. I've been losing steam at the end of some shows recently.
Yeah.
Like, that I've gone to go see, I'm like, ugh, this is long and there's
engaged.
No variation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a lot of open mics mostly, but. Which are painful, but important.
They can be. They are important, absolutely.
Yes, it's like eating all your fiber. You gotta go.
I'm actually... Is this a good place to talk about the fact that I'm contemplating giving up comedy?
Ooh.
This is like an official announcement.
Okay.
We'll stand up, not comedy.
Okay.
One of my issues is when I tell people I do comedy, they're like, oh, stand up? I'm like, well, that's not all comedy is.
Yeah. You've always been a bit of a comedy renaissance woman.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing more than one thing. I get bored really easily.
For sure.
And going out at night is difficult because I have a kid that doesn't like me leaving him unsupervised.
Yeah, that's so nice, though. You have, like, a teen kid who wants you around?
Yeah.
That's very precious.
I'm sucking it up. He's the only person in the world that actually really wants me around.
I don't think that's true. We really wanted you
to be
here tonight.
Well, we invited you to come and be
here. That's very true. That's very true.
I didn't... When Joe first walked in, though, I had my headphones in, and she, like, came into the house and then was like, well, I guess no one's here, and, like, was about
to leave. I thought maybe because I didn't look at the address on the front.
You can't see it anyway.
Yeah, that's cool. But you did say go through the jungle, and I went through the jungle.
Better run through the jungle.
But I'm finding that stand-up, the last set I did was at Laugh Gallery, which is Graham Clark's show.
Okay.
And he runs an amazing show.
Yes,
and I was
does.
The first person
you
on
know
it's Monday night.
That we get to see? past guest Graham Clark.
Yay! Oh, yeah, he was a guest?
Yeah.
Oh, you're lucky.
We did a really great episode.
That's just...
No, that's cool.
It was our best guest so far.
Yeah.
No offense or anything, but you know Graham Clark.
But you also had Morgan Brayton on, who's also amazing.
Yes, this is true.
They have very true. Many levels of
so far good guests.
Your listeners are very lucky.
Yes, they are. And you better know it, guys.
Yeah, guys.
And gals and those of you who don't fit in either of those categories.
Especially you that don't fit in either of those categories.
All are non-binary.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I did his show. He put me up first and no laughs.
Oh, fuck.
And I felt like I was doing okay, but I also felt like because I was nervous about doing stand-up in front of him and he asked me to do it, and I hadn't been doing stand-up because I've been in night school and the parenting shite. And so I left there and I was like, am I... Because now I'm getting known as a producer and I'm writing a book. And I was like, is it really best for me to be doing stand-up and then not doing well? And the people were like, oh, I saw Joe Dvorak. She sucked.
Oh, man.
Like, that's kind of my fear now. But I feel like there's more to lose if I do stand-up and I don't do well than there was before.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Because then it might tinge your other projects or something like that.
Yeah.
But that,
before it was just fun that if I failed, I was like, well, I watched my best friend die. I'm okay.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's how I got into stand-up, because I was like, well, like, the worst thing in the world happened.
Right.
And now if people don't laugh at me or they do laugh at me, then whatever, I won't worry about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So many irons in the fire.
Yeah, anyway.
Wow. Okay.
That was, that's how I got into stand-up.
And when was that?
She died 3 years ago.
Jesus H.
Yeah.
Was she a comic?
No, she was a ballerina.
Huh.
Yeah, but she wanted me to, she said I should do stuff on stage, and she had me tell a story at her service.
Okay.
She called it a celebration of life.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Instead of calling it a funeral. And she wanted me to make people laugh, which was really hard.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty gutted. But I went up and I did it, and it felt really good. Like, just to see people in the audience relax and have some positive memories. And
For sure.
That's what I would do when she's in the hospital. She's in the hospital for, like, a year and a half. I would just go and make her laugh. I really just darked things down.
That happens.
But, like, the thing that happens when you see somebody who's okay 1 minute and then is sick and thinks, like, she had cancer and she thought she would have a time where she'd be okay and could go do stuff. She's like, when I'm... In remission, we're going to go on a road trip to San Francisco. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Yeah. We're not going to take life for granted. And she never got better. She suffered for like a year and a half, and it sucked. And then she died, and that sucked. And it really kicked me in the ass. And I started doing a lot more things that I was afraid of.
Yeah, I would.
And the idea of producing a show and being on stage was absolutely terrifying to me. But that's like, I felt like I needed to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Because at that point, like, what do you have to lose?
Absolutely, yeah.
And, like, so much to lose by not doing anything, right?
Absolutely.
You're like, well, I could be alive for 80 years and then do nothing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Or I could die tomorrow and then also have done nothing, so I better do stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather somebody write, like, Joe Dvorak's an utter failure than not write anything.
Who is
Please
Joe
don't write them an utter failure.
Nobody's ever going to do that. They'll do it passive-aggressively.
Yeah.
It's so nice that she thinks she should go out and talk to people. That's my inner monologue for myself all the time, so I don't know if you do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you dummy, that was a terrible set, or something like that, because I definitely ate shit at the Laugh Gallery, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it with, like, 102
degree
fever.
I just wanted to hear Graham Clark laugh at my jokes, and it didn't happen. And that's okay, because laughter is typically quite honest. And there was, like, a couple of chuckles, but I'm definitely more of a storyteller now than I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely seems like, because when I first met you, when I just started out, you were doing, like, open mics, and then I didn't see you for a really long time, and you were working on Story Story Lie, and I think some other projects, and so, like, that's how I know you now, is, like, host of Fruit Salad and storytelling shows and stuff like that. It's not like I don't think you're a comic. I think comic is attached to the things that you do.
Yeah.
Maybe necessarily than doing it purely as a stand-up.
And I feel like
I've
still been doing it because, like, I love when you get in a good club.
Yeah.
I can get, especially, like, the white bros laughing about, you know, because I did a joke about my ex-boyfriend who was cross-dressing. And I would get every guy in the room laughing about it before realizing what they were laughing about. And then you would see them acknowledge what they were laughing about and being like, oh my God, I just laughed in acknowledgement that it's okay for a man to wear a dress around the house.
Yeah.
And I loved that. That was like, that was such a great moment for me.
Yeah.
Tricking them into acceptance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Changing minds one chuckle at a time.
Absolutely.
I love that. So.
It is a transformative power of comedy, if I could be a little bit lofty about it for a second.
It is, but you, and just the way you can tweak truth.
For sure. And it's very interesting to watch other comics develop over time as you go and see. Because you even if you don't continue to do stand-up, you'll still be working with stand-ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they come to your show. And you're probably still friends with quite a few of them.
We always have a stand-up. We usually get two stand-ups on the show. And actually, I've been going through the statistics because we have an All-Stars in August, which is the performers that have tricked the most people. And the stand-up's in the highest ranking.
Yeah.
Of course.
because they're very, very comfortable on stage, like, being manipulative.
Yeah. I think that's so cool, like, to tell a story that's true on your show, but, like, do some kind of, like, a wink-wink to the audience that makes them think that you're actually the liar. Like, that's the fun part to me, where it's like, no, I was actually being completely sincere, but you thought I was the liar.
Because you just pull things out. Like, yeah. I pulled out a really embarrassing detail about myself.
Yes.
Which made people think, I think that's why people thought I was a liar in Gibson's.
Yeah, because they're like, why would she ever talk about
absolutely.
That on stage?
Absolutely. And I really didn't want to, but I was like, I'm going to pull out that one thing so that people will think that I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
That's amazing. I'm so. Secrets. I feel like yours could definitely be something to do with going to Seattle to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I keep wanting to call them Modest Mouse, but that's not what they
Flaming
are.
Lips.
Flaming Lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where you just got to dance on stage with them.
Yeah,
in costumes.
Yeah.
Like, that seems very
They're
illogical.
So great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, great until you smell the inside of the costumes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
It's like Febreze and sweaty dinks. So, like, a teenage boy's room, basically.
Well, I will not go anywhere near my son's
room. It's a sacred room that's also cursed at the same time. I love him, but really. How old is your kid?
He's 14.
That's cool.
And he's 6'1", so he's, like...
A tall 14.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's very... We went to a trivia night, and he just does things with his mom, because...
Yeah, it sounds like you guys really like each other.
We do.
Especially for a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, no, but I just always...
Specifically the worst kind of boy.
Yeah, and he's still, like, a reasonable human being, I think. But
that's
we went to
impressive.
A trivia night last night, and somebody was like, so that's your brother? And I was like, so sweet, that's my son. She's like, well, he doesn't look 14. Yeah. You don't look 38. And I was like, well, thank you for that.
He did come
but
out of my body.
But we're getting to a point where I look like I just am walking with my bodyguard. Sometimes, because he's like, he looks like he should be a bouncer.
Just get him to carry you in his arms everywhere you go.
He doesn't carry me. He does piggyback me now. That's the best moment in motherhood is when your kid can piggyback you.
I birthed a human and now they're carrying me around.
Is that not the plot of Love You Forever by Robert Munsch?
Absolutely. Oh my God, you're right. We should write our own variation on that.
Yeah, with it making it less creepy, maybe.
And a lot more queer.
Yeah.
Because he's had these moments where he's... like, he's definitely very white.
Yeah.
I am primarily white, but I'm not entirely white, and, our roommate is from Taiwan, and he's gay. And my son was sitting on the couch one day, and he goes, I'm the only, like, heterosexual white person in this house. Which I just thought was so funny.
I was like, yeah, well, get used to it, bud, because we're taking over the world.
I thought it was really funny.
That demonstrates a self-awareness in a 14-year-old boy that I wouldn't normally expect
to
exist.
And that's the beauty of having a roommate, I think, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. Like, a lot of kids don't experience that.
And I've had people look at me weird, like, why do you have roommates? And it's like, well...
That's Vancouver.
I don't have privacy anyway. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's Vancouver. And I feel like it's good for him to meet other people.
For sure.
And we've had bad roommates.
Yeah.
And he gets what a bad roommate is.
So he's learning to be, like, a good person in
so,
a household.
So, yeah, that's... as somebody that's lived with folks that, like, did not have any exposure to that as, like, their roommate, thank you for that. Like, his future roommates will thank you.
And then just things like, if I'm going to get mad at him for leaving his socks on the floor, which is always a thing, Luke, pick up your socks. I can say, you know, like, Fred's coming home.
Yeah.
Like, pick up your socks. He doesn't want to see your dirty socks on the floor. It's not me being... a mom and saying, like, I don't want to see your socks on the floor.
So
he's like, oh, it's for
roommate.
Fred. I'll do it for a guy, not for my mom.
I like your teen acting.
That's
out.
My
that
teen
was great.
Acting
like,
out.
Yeah, I like raps, skateboards. Let's get a Slurpee or something. That's what I think teens are.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm at an age now, too, where my friends are having kids and wanting to have kids, and I'm so over it.
Oh, but they're coming to you for advice and stuff, probably, aren't they?
Probably not.
No?
I don't know. Not direct. Not with babies, at least.
Yeah.
I don't really like babies.
Like, we don't think your son was ever a baby. He arrived fully formed.
I know, it seems like that. Yeah, we've always had really good conversations, so I'm appreciative of that.
That's good. I always... think of, like, I don't know, a lot of people who have teen children, but especially teen boys, are like, I just don't know. But it sounds like you actually get, like, really engaged with him and that you know each other as human beings.
I still don't
beings.
Know. I still feel like I'm a very questionable parent at times. But, yeah.
So you guys are going to go on a huge road trip together.
Yeah.
How did you get this idea?
Yeah.
I am totally a gypsy. I used to be homeless.
Okay.
And I am the kind of person that will lay on my hammock and look up at the... actually the ceiling of my patio, which is kind of gross. And, and like missed the days where I was a hobo and I had no cares. And my son makes jokes about me being a hobo all the time. We did California, like San Diego and back. And, that was really fun, just sleeping in the back of the van. And, I didn't really have the confidence to write at the time. So he's like 7 years old, but it was also a really great trip. And anyway, so I got into the SFU Writer Studio. I was going to write a show, a book based on the solo show I wrote called Oh Man, which is about being a female-loving feminist who's raising a white privileged man.
Right.
And it was, the play went over really well to the entire 14-person audience in Montana. But we won. I won. I say we because Luke helped stage manage, which sounds really weird, but he was amazing at it. We won first place for best solo show at the festival, which was great.
That's awesome.
But I was going to turn that into a book and then decided I didn't really want to write about myself anymore.
Okay.
And so I like the idea of traveling. We're working that into a story. So Families Across Canada is what the project's called. Flying to St. John's, buying a crap car that hopefully will not break down, and then driving home, crashing on couches, the whole Trans-Canada Highway. And in every province, we plan to feature a different family. And also, hopefully, like, an independent tour company. I really want to feature, like, an independent, and if it's a family-run independent tour company, that'd be amazing. But I want to collect stories from people. And also, like, online hitchhiking will be picking up people and driving them as well from one place to another, collecting stories that way.
That's so neat.
You were talking about turning your van into a little studio so that you could interview hitchhikers.
Well, it's going to be a car, but yeah, we're going to have a speaker in there so that we can, or a microphone. What do you call them when you collect sound? Microphone. I know this stuff. I'm a broadcaster.
Sound collector.
A sound collector.
A sound collector. Put it in the sound bucket, please.
So doing that kind of thing. So yeah, that'll be fun. I'm trying to get him to ask questions. But his questions are like, what superpower would you want? And mine are like, what does it feel like to live in this community? Do they support diversity? Do you feel like there's room to grow?
What does it feel like to murder a cow with your bare hands?
Oh my god. One of my favorite things I found out is in Nova Scotia, the one area like around Cape Breton has had a serious decline in population. It's the only area in Canada where the Aboriginal population is growing. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So like all the, like a lot of the people in their 20s end up leaving because they can't find work there. And so they've been moving to Alberta to work in the oil fields. But the Aboriginal community there is thriving. And I just think that's so interesting.
Go figure, you take some white people out of the mix and they start doing better. Wonder why.
So I'm just, I'm looking forward to seeing that and writing about that.
Cool. I really like that idea. So you've been connecting with folks, you said, like on message boards and all across the country and trying to set up interviews and places to stay and that's very
working on that. So in some places we don't have worked out, but that's just gonna be a part of the story, I guess.
Wow. And how long do you think it's gonna take you?
Very, very scheduled.
Okay.
20 days.
Right on.
It's 7,800 kilometers.
Wow.
86 hours of driving.
Good gravy.
And it's broken up so that the biggest day we have is like around the Ontario Lakes, 7 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah.
It's still rough, like long haul.
I like driving, but that's good. Over 4 hours and I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll be stopping a lot. Makes sense. A lot of audiobooks.
Right on, yeah. So it'll just mostly be you and Luke.
Yeah.
And then anybody you're picking up along the way.
We pick up.
Whoever you happen to pick up.
It's a good thing he's a 6'1 dude that kind of seems like your bodyguard.
Well, they do have online hitchhiking websites.
Right.
So, like, the car sharing. So you can post, like, so we'll post, we're leaving St. John's, we're heading to the, I can't pronounce the name of the port. I don't speak any French, too. That's my other issue.
Oh.
And, you know, so if you want to ride from this location to that location, and then you can just say, like, you know, help out with gas, like $10 or whatever. And,
right on. Well, that's really
so
cool.
So, but people write reviews.
So it's like couch surfing, but it's like for hitchhiking. Yeah. Okay. That's a really good idea, and so it probably means that you will not be podcasting your own murder.
Probably not. But would that
leave the mics, leave those sound collectors going.
I will leave the sound collectors going.
Yeah, you can do your own serial story about yourself. You started us down a dark path, and I'm just keeping us on it.
You know, as long as I can see St. John's and Cape Breton, hopefully Montreal, I can die. That would be good for me.
Well, let's hope.
According to the witch's curse, then I can die.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, I love. I've been to the Maritimes once, and and I really love Nova Scotia, especially. I really, really like Cape Breton Island. okay. is one of my favorite places. There's a small town there called Bedeck.
That's where we're staying.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Because when I was 11, I want to say, when I went there. Okay. My parents always kind of let me do my own thing because they like to golf and I don't want to watch them golf or play like golf. That. So they go golf and I would just like wander around the town and like go and, I don't know, eat some fried lobster, go into like an independent bookstore or something. It's just, everybody was so friendly. They're like, oh, come on in, love you, pull up a chair and all that kind of stuff. Great. Like, so, so friendly. I don't know what's changed in the interim, but you could go into gift shops and buy like Reed McNeil tapes and all that kind of fun stuff, which I just love. I just think it's so awesome. Did you know Reed McNeil is a lesbian?
No.
Did
no,
you not know this? She was secretly a lesbian.
Really? Yeah. Well, I didn't know. It was a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just found this out recently.
You just outed her.
I think it's a secret that's an open secret.
Okay. Got it.
But I love, well, she's already passed on, unfortunately. Yes. But yeah. Reed McNeil.
Oh.
They're having the kitchen
coal miner's
festival.
Daughter, she was talking about spelunking.
I think that's Loretta Lynn or...
Oh, I don't care.
Well, they all sing songs about
being a coal,
sure.
a coal mother's... Coal mother?
A coal mother.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good name for a band.
Coal motherfucker.
Coal yeah. mother.
Ooh.
Coal mother. Sounds like a goth indie band.
Oh my God.
I love it. It's from the Rust Belt. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I completely lost my train of thought.
I like it, though.
Yeah. Toot, toot.
I'm excited about your book, then. The project is going to be so cool. Like, I just like the idea of, like, yeah, any of those, like, documentaries, like, CBC things or whatever, where it's just, like, across Canada and seeing how different people live and actually getting into, like, people's day-to-day lives is so fascinating.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. So where the CBC isn't responding to my pitches.
Oh, I was going to say, they should be knocking at your door, because this is so up their alley.
I haven't fully pitched this one.
This is CanCon forever.
I pitched Story Lied to them, and I had heard nothing back. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. I spent so long writing that freaking pitch, but whatever. What can you do?
Yeah. Sounds like it would be a good, like, debater-style show, like, tour around
absolutely.
Canada and have local folks, like, be included.
Well, instead I'm just touring around BC.
Yeah, you're just doing it yourself. Fuck the CBC. Wait, don't say that. No. Give us money.
CBC, come on.
Come on.
CBC, come on.
But also, Co-op Radio, so grateful that you air Story Lie Sundays at 9 p.m. on the storytelling show. Thank you. That's my broadcasting plug. You guys are very close to Co-op Radio as well. And I had you guys
physically?
On.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. We were on. We were going to post it as a bonus episode, but then we had major technical issues and couldn't get it up. And we had 1 week where we just didn't post anything. We were very naughty.
Oh, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Very naughty beans. But at this point, we've made it 1 year at least without having to skip a week.
That's great.
Feeling pretty good about that. I think other big podcasts have allowed themselves a couple. Gimmies here and there, or mulligans or whatever. I don't play golf, so I don't know what the terminology
people
is.
People are allowed to have lives that sometimes interfere with the podcast schedule, but we try not to. We try not to.
So when you were younger and you were in Cape Brittany area, what was your favorite? Was it just being independent there?
That was very astute of you to pick on that, because there was a couple other places that I went where I just kind of got to have the run of the place, and that was really fun for me, because I like small towns and exploring them and stuff like that, so that was really exciting, and, my other favorite thing is the only place in Canada that there's old shit is in, like, the East Coast. There's nothing here that's older than 150 years, and that's all in my neighborhood.
True, yeah.
So, for me to go to the fort in Halifax, I cannot remember the name of it. That's terrible. It's got a French name. I think it starts with an L. And just being there and seeing people in, like, the costumes, I just love that shit. I eat it with a spoon. I love museums.
Reenactments.
I love old shit pretending to be Ben Franklin or whatever. Not that he's Canadian, but you get the idea.
A Wolfe and Montague or whatever battle of something or other.
Exactly like that, pretty much. And that's what all the pubs are named, coincidentally.
That's hilarious.
It's people tell me that I should go to the Maritimes. Like, I really do want to go, but they're like, go and, like, bring your instrument and, like, sit and, like, all the things that I love about Scotland is very similar in New Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, everyone's
That's what Nova Scotia means.
Yes.
I was like, there's a New Scotland?
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie, get the net.
Well, Benjamin Graham Bell, was that his?
Alexander
Graham
Bell.
Graham Bell.
Yeah, he lived in Bedeck.
You know, all men, their
all
names are the same.
I can't tell them apart.
Are John Michael Michelson.
Absolutely.
That's my roommate, John Michael.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
But he lived there, and like he retired there, and they have a museum on the property that he owned.
Cool.
But he loved it, and he said it was just like Scotland.
Are you going to go to Anna Green Gable's house when you're in PEI?
I'm going to Anna Green Gable. She's not real. I know a lot of Canadians have problems with that.
She's not a real person.
Should go to the author's house or whatever.
We're going to the house that was inspired. Yeah. And we're also seeing her play. Because they have the longest running musical, annual musical in the world, is Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is
true. I didn't know there was a musical.
There is a musical. We're seeing it a matinee before we head to Moncton. And, yeah, going to go to the house. What really disappointed me about Anne of Green Gables, and maybe you can relate, is I didn't know what a gable was. And I thought it was like... sort of like a stable, maybe like a stable that's like a cave where like so you
where,
keep
where you keep all your gay people.
No, where you keep like your animals. Maybe your gay animals. Good point. But I imagined it. I didn't think it was just like the freaking trim around the roof. Like that was so boring to me that that's what a gable was.
Just call me Margaret of Broken Shutters.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm Joe of Bent Chimney. So,
Julia of Shingles Falling Off.
She deserved a better name.
I'm Antonio. Nice Pueblo roof. Yeah, those don't sound very good, hey?
Yeah.
No, we could have just called our Anne Red Pigtails.
Absolutely.
They might as well.
Mm. But no, I love that story. Did you guys read that story growing up?
Never. Never. Really? I've never read it. I have gone to the cottage, though.
I mean, I didn't read it because I...
But it caught fire shortly before I got there.
Oh, interesting. But they...
Suspicious.
Read the stories to us. Yeah.
I don't like other redheads. What can I say? Just kidding. There's like 100 Japanese tourists just snapping photos of it in front of me. It was really wild,
so
even though it was still
they
burned.
Apparently they have Anne of Green Gables played there in Japanese as well.
Yeah, it's really popular worldwide. Like it's
but Japan,
our
it's
big,
huge. Yeah. In Japan, they love it more than we do, apparently.
Anne of Green Gables, big in Japan.
God.
Oh, God, the table.
I got the table. Oh, fuck. Get out of here, Tom Waits. Their Anne of Green Gables song.
That would be very funny. Tom Waits performed the musical like his Black Rider musical, but it was about Anne.
Oh God! Joe's like, what the fuck?
No, I'm wanting to be a part of this.
Oh, that would be so great.
Oh, I'm in a weird mood.
Anne braids a pigtails by the sea. Hoping that Gilbert comes back for me. I don't know, is Gilbert her boyfriend's name? I don't actually know
yeah,
how the story works.
I think so.
Anne of Green Gables.
That was pretty good. Come on, just
yeah,
that improv
no,
there.
Thank I loved
you.
It.
I can't talk anymore. I've ruined my voice.
Oh no, you have the Tom Waits curse.
You can't talk.
You like somehow called up his spirit from and California
now
or wherever
now
he lives.
Now I'll slowly turn into a, I was going to say, oh boy, an accordion. I couldn't think of anything that was
I
weird
accordions.
Enough.
Accordions. It's my favorite instrument. Huh? They also have the Kitchen Festival happening in Cape Breton when we're there.
Ooh, is that like everyone opens up their house and you just have a big
like a kitchen party?
Kitchen party
yeah,
okay,
but
so.
But apparently it's at the university and Ashley McIsaac's going to be there, which would be great. So.
Name dropping the famous
He'll totally
fiddlers.
Let me interview him.
That'd be cool.
He's a loose
I do
can.
Play a lot of him on Co-op Radio because the Fruit Salad is the queer show, so we play all queer Canadian content. And yeah, I'll just play
is a Ashley set McIsaac
of,
queer?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Very gay.
Well, I didn't know
loves
that.
Loves the dick.
Loves to flap his own dick around in that little kilt
yeah,
of his.
I've heard.
Just
yeah.
flappy flap flap.
Mm-hmm. I think if I had one, I might want to do that too.
Yeah, seriously, if I was like playing the fiddle, I'd just flap it along to like to get the beat
yeah,
going. Like,
absolutely.
If I stuck on my foot, it'd just
I don't
be
think
like flap, flap, flap.
I would definitely have a lot of wrist issues, I think, because I'd just be...
jerking it all the time?
Yeah.
It's like... Chris was asking me, oh, yeah, you haven't been working out lately? Haven't been working it? Like, no, my wrist hurts too much from jerking it. It's like, no, it's not from jerking it!
Are you guys going to talk about masturbation on your show?
No, we talk about masturbation on our show. That's just not how I hurt my wrist.
Okay.
That was a plot point on the last season of Grace and Frankie, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I didn't get to the end of it.
That's why they had such bad tendonitis from jerking it that they decided to design a vibrator for older ladies.
That's lovely.
The show is the
Hey, if I get one of those
show.
And my wrist problems clear up, then we know what the issue was.
I will strongly recommend Women's Wear on Commercial Drive.
I know where Women's Wear is, Joe.
Okay, your listeners might not know where Women's Wear is.
I'm pretty sure all 12 people who listen to this...
The ladies who own it there are so amazing. Not just because they sponsored Story Story Lie, but they gave me a toy that was just mind-bending. And
It bent your mind?
It bent my mind. Yeah.
And your twat? Just kidding.
No, it's still perfectly exactly where it's supposed to be.
Oh, good. You don't want to bend that.
No, don't want to bend that.
No.
It's perfect just the way it is. Yeah.
I guess we don't talk about it that much because I definitely went beat red.
Yeah, you did.
I am like a secret prude. It's okay. It's a I'm not it's really, but it's just actually very funny to make me slightly uncomfortable because then I'll just go like, ooh.
I don't like talking about, like when I'm watching, we went to go see Wonder Woman last night.
Yeah.
My son and I. And whenever somebody's in pain, I just make this face and he just laughs hysterically. So he's always checking me to be like, oh, that face. But it's just, it's
your sympathetic face, basically.
Yeah, I just don't like seeing people in pain. But it's a kick-ass movie, and people should go see it.
I want to go see it.
Yeah.
It is good, then?
Yeah, it's good.
I've heard really good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of vibrator does Wonder Woman use?
Oh, my God. One of the best lines, I'm not spoiling anything, is that he talks about how, like, you know, you can't have sex on the island. And she's like, well, honestly, we've found that men are not necessary in the areas of pleasure.
Yes.
And no one in the room laughed. So there's a lot of, like, in the theater when I saw it, like, there were so many opportunities where people really should have laughed and they didn't.
Oh, man. It was like the audience from Laugh Gallery just got transplanted there. We're not absolutely laughing at the right things.
So there were, you know, anyways.
Laugh at the lesbian stuff, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I desperately need people to do when I do my comedy. Like, please laugh at the lesbian stuff. Or the partial lesbian stuff.
Yeah.
I was at an open mic where someone did a joke that I do. I don't think they stole it from me. It's just that we did the same joke and it was a little distressing because I was like, because I do that thing where, like, if I'm going immediately in from the my dad thought I was gay joke, so I'm bisexual. I'm not all the way gay, I'm just part gay, probably on my dad's side, and she did exactly the same joke.
Oh wow.
It wasn't, but we didn't do the same joke at the same show, so I don't think she'd ever seen me do it before. But I was still kind of like, do I have to not do that joke anymore? Should I talk to her?
Yeah, you should. I think
it's like a pretty easy joke. I think other people would have done it before. It's more a tag than an actual joke.
I do the my dad busting that first girlfriend he caught me wet-handed. Thank you. And then I high-five an audience member. Yeah! And then I wipe my hand, and they just look at me like, oh.
Oh.
But then everybody else laughs. And they
very rude.
But it's nice. It just, like, brings out a little bit of homophobia in whoever's
finger
in the
finger bang
row.
Jokes are the best. Yeah. I think they're very important.
It was a beautiful moment in my life, and I want to relive it as many times as I can.
Finger blast. Use the proper scientific term.
I knew that the kids had changed it in the last 15 years. It went from finger bang to finger blast.
Yeah.
Bang just seems like just you do it one time. Blast is, like, repetitive.
Pew, 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 pew. I'm doing a lot of hand signals.
Yeah, that's
no
great.
One else can see.
Good for the audio medium.
Sure. Absolutely. It's just like,
yeah. So much enjoyment.
Yes, that is what sex should provide. Look at me, I'm so pink.
Oh,
I don't know what sex
squirmy.
Is.
I never done it.
Jeez.
I am a very pure virgin.
Yes.
Yes, obviously. Oh, boy. Should we take a quick break?
I guess since you said it, sure. And we're back.
We are back.
Katie, how was your week? Should we do a quick little check-in?
Oh, boy.
Go back to Joe?
Quick check-in. No, I want to talk for hours about everything that's been going on.
We have unlimited tape, so.
it's not even tape anymore.
Yeah.
No. That computer's so full of tape. It's just packed full.
I have to get it out with a pencil.
In the little thing, in the spindle.
Yes.
We're all in a bit of a goofy mood today. I don't know if you are. I don't know what your regular mood looks like.
I want to be exactly the way you guys are.
Oh, we're, yeah.
Just sort of loopy. Just have, like, kind of a not very fun week and then look forward to this.
And then it all bubbles out.
Yeah, and then, like, I actually, like, my laughing at Tom Waits is like, oh, I actually sort of cried a little laughing. Like, I needed it so bad.
Laugh about Tom. Being Anna Green Gables. I don't know. I just really like doing it.
That was great.
My week. So, update on the wrist situation, which has been frustrating. My left wrist, I, like, sprained or strained it a couple weeks ago, and I haven't been able to. From jerking it, obviously. From clean and jerking it. Actually, probably from overhead pressing, if I'm being honest.
Oh, you're so strong.
Because I'm so very beefy and strong. Mm-hmm. But I've always had, I just have joint problems. I have weak joints. There's a lot of arthritis in my family. So it's just kind of like, it has to be monitored very carefully. And I wasn't being serious with myself about the fact that it was hurting after certain exercises. And I wasn't emphasizing that enough to my trainer. So I ended up putting a lot of stress on it and it's really sore and I've had to take some time off and go and get acupuncture and cupping and neurokinetic therapy, which is...
What's that?
I will not be able to explain it correctly, but it has stuff to do with the relationship between the brain and the body in terms of, like, muscle memory and how you do certain motions. And there are certain muscle groups you're supposed to use with certain motions that support your bone structure and your body weight. And if you do it the wrong way, you can injure yourself, right? Because you're bringing in the wrong muscle groups and they're not trained to do that kind of thing. So when you get in the habit of doing things the wrong way, you start to sort of progressively injure yourself. Mm. And so what neurokinetic therapy does is they, like, probe parts of your body while you try to do these very specific motions, and they can determine whether or not your muscles are working the way they're supposed to. Oh. And if they're not, they can do these modifications that will, like, turn the muscle on that is supposed to work, so you can be aware of what it feels like when it feels correct. And so that's what happened yesterday, is she figured out all of these spots where, like, certain muscles were compensating for others, and then either would, like, hold them in and then make me do the motion again, and then it would do it correctly and it would feel much better and the pain would loosen up a bit. And there were some other times where she found, like, really unhappy muscle tissue that was, like, full of knots and, like, calcium crystals and stuff, and she had to grind it out. And that was what really hurt. Like, that's what why I'm in pain today, is, like, right here is going to be a huge black bruise later, because she did this thing called the Grafton method on me, where she took this, like, it's basically like the back of a butter knife with, like, some coconut oil, and just, like, ground over the top of the muscle until the fibers, like, broke up. And then I was able to move, like, I had total mobility restored to my wrist. It's still tender, but the pain is almost completely gone, and all of the strength and mobility is coming back. So hopefully it's better, and I'll be able to start working out again on Monday with some modified things. But I should show you guys my back from the cupping that I had done.
Oh, yeah.
I love the cupping.
Octopus tentacles.
That's what Tessa said to me. She's like, you know, I've really taken it on faith that you've gone to get cupped, and that you're not in a love affair with a sexy octopus.
or a window washer.
Or a window washer. I was like, or a window-washing octopus, which, great career option.
Totally.
Yeah, I would, like, baby, I'd tell you if I was in love with an octopus, I swear.
And no one would be surprised.
No, plus they only live 5 years, so you only have to be a little bit patient, and they'll come running back. No, it was, yeah, so I've had all of these crazy treatments, and it's made me have really weird dreams. Like, absurdly strange dreams. Did I talk about them last week?
Yeah, that you got your chi, like, released. Yeah. And had crazy-ass lucid dreaming.
I had another dream, and I don't know if this happened before. I think it happened before.
Please,
work.
Talk to us about your dream journal.
You have a dream journal.
I know.
You bitch. I basically dreamt that I was trying to do my makeup before going to work, and I was really stressed out about getting there on time because I'm habitually late for work. Because nobody cares is the problem, so I just keep doing it. And then somehow I managed to accidentally shave off my entire right eyebrow.
Oh, no.
And then I went all over town trying to find a matching eyebrow pencil, but nothing would match. And so every time I, like, tried to draw on an eyebrow, it would be, like, bright pink or something. Oh, I'm like, what does that mean? So it turns out that's my big vanity, is my eyebrows, and I do not want to shave them off by accident and then do crazy Amanda Palmer eyebrows. Don't. That's not going to work
that's
for me.
That's what I was going to say. Just draw on, like, a weird esoteric squiggle. That's an eyebrow.
Like, no, it isn't.
Tattooing is quite prominent now. Yeah, I don't want to say it's in, because then I sound old. It's prominent.
It's prominent. Because that makes you sound much more hip and
with. Love you! So much. I had a stupid dream last night that was really annoying.
Okay.
I'm sorry to switch it back to me. We're going to go back
to
you.
No, please.
But I dreamt that I was trying to go somewhere and looking on Google Maps on my phone, and then my phone was like, you know, it's time for you to update. And I was like, fuck you, phone. I'm trying to find my way. I think it's funny that I love road trips so much, because my dreams almost always involve being lost somewhere. But, like, my love in life is traveling.
So, do you get lost a lot when you travel?
Do I get lost a lot when I'm traveling? I don't know, because I don't always really have, like, a, we have to go here. But with this one, we have more of a...
You can't get lost if you never have a plan.
Like, with San Diego, when we drove to San Diego, we would just, like, we'd be on the highway for an hour sometimes and be like, let's go to the beach. And then we'd just pull over whatever beach we're at. We would just stay there for the day.
That's fantastic.
I like it. I like driving in the States, like, without a map. They have really, really, really good signage in a lot of places.
The highways make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it was like, I was able to basically drive myself to Burning Man, like, with a general map thing, but, like, once I got into, like, Northern California and then into Nevada and stuff, it was just like, oh, yep, nope, this makes perfect sense and everything's very clear.
Did you drive by yourself?
With a friend.
Okay, so you guys took turns driving?
No, I drove the whole way. She didn't have a license. Oh, jeez. So she was my snack captain and, like,
she put it, like, music. A red vine in your mouth while you were driving or something. Oh, fun. It's like placing things between your lips as you drove. One Cheeto.
The navigator's got to, you know, it's the back seat people that deal with snacks usually, right? And the front seat is navigator and DJ.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on a road trip with more than just myself. I love taking myself on a road trip.
Yeah, me too. I probably do a lot of that when I get back because I need to write the book. So I'll be recording everything while we're traveling and then coming back and writing it out. And I have a bed and a couch that folds into a couch, like a futon on the back of my van. It's like built in. And
that's
then a writing table. So I'll probably just like find a lake somewhere and just drive there and park. And...
Ooh, you should go to the lake I went to for camping. It was
how was
good.
Camping?
Oh, camping was fucking great.
Oh yeah, where'd you go camping?
I went camping at Sayers Lake in Mission.
Okay.
Now, they do not have any hookups of any kind. It was just outhouses. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely stunningly beautiful. It is right by Mission. Mm-hmm. It's right by Stave Lake, actually. And it's just like off this service road off of Dudney Trunk Road. About 11 kilometers up some gravel. And once we got there, like, we had one bad experience with someone who got stuck behind the car. This is Jasta's car, which is a homie. It's a right-hand drive Japanese camper van. Okay. And it is so cute and so ridiculous looking. It used to have a big old mustache on the front, basically.
Oh, cute.
And there is a sign, and it's because it's a right-hand drive, because it's not meant to be super off-road, it can't go super fast in bad conditions, so there's a big sign in the back that says, slow and sleazy.
Nice.
Because that is absolutely a fitting sign.
So this is your
sign.
Wheels?
No, this is my very good friend's wheels.
Okay.
And it's actually her primary method of transportation other than her bike, which I find really funny.
That's
to just,
really
like,
awesome.
Roll up in one of these things. It looks sort of like a ambulance from the future, but imagined in the past. And yet, it's a camper van.
That's
and
a great definition.
Yeah, and so there were these people who must have been Mission locals were behind us, and they got stuck behind us for all of 5 minutes, and it was too slow for their liking, and then they finally pulled around us, and we're like, you fucking idiots, do you not even know where you're going? We're like, no, we don't, we've never been here before. Some experiences are new for people. This is what being alive is about. They're like, you fucking
this
idiots.
This is what being alive is about. You shout at cars.
And then so they like drove around us to get to this campsite before we did. They were going in as a 1 day thing, and the lady wasn't going to let them in for free. They called her a fucking R word. Like, they called her. Yeah. And I was like, I don't ever hear people saying that in anger anymore, and I can't believe it. Like, I was so shocked to hear them say that. So, it was, like, really, really, that was a bad start, but the second they left, we had so much fun. It was pure fun from start to finish. All of the people who stayed near us were really nice. There was, like, a nice family. We found the only gay in Mission on one of the floating docks. Shout out to Adam, who said he was going to check out our podcast, so we'll fucking see, bud. It was just so great. Like, we went swimming immediately, and the water was comfortable. It was, like, just cold enough that you felt like you were building character, but not cold enough that it was deeply
like
unpleasant.
It's a great way to
Well, you're just like, oh, I feel bracing and stuff. So
it's
it was
a lot
really
like
cool.
What dating's like now.
Yeah, no basically.
What dating is like.
It's exactly what dating is like.
Yeah, it has to be just uncomfortable enough that you feel like you're growing as a person.
Exactly.
So it was really just absolutely peaceful. We didn't drink a drop of alcohol. It was so, like, low-key and... Yeah, we just ate hot dogs and junk food and just had a really, really nice time. So it was pretty perfect, and it costs, I think, like $13 to $16 a night or something like that. It was, because it's like a, yeah. It was
great.
It was a no amenities campsite.
What was the name of the campgrounds?
Sayers Lake.
Sayers Lake. Okay.
I'll give you a link if you like.
Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. And there's a bunch of campgrounds around there where they'll probably
be
equally
lovely. Were
there other
people? That's usually my least favorite thing about camping.
It was not too bad because we went on a Sunday night, and I don't think anyone expected it to be as nice as it was, because it was like 30 degrees.
Yeah.
It was like height of summer and the all day light, pretty much. Like, it was bright until close to 11, I would say, because there's still some. And then holy shit, when the stars came out, it was just like,
I love that.
Yeah, it was like, hey, what's up? Hey, nature, look how good it looks when there's no light pollution.
That's one of the great things about living in Vancouver.
Is you can get out of it
areas.
Easily.
I'm going to try and include New West. because I grew up in Victoria, and there's nowhere else to go. Like, I grew up in Southest Tip. You could literally only drive north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only way you could drive, so just, like, trying to get, but also we weren't really in the city, but you just couldn't really go anywhere without looking at the ferry schedule.
Exactly.
But it's so nice here that I can be like, anywhere. Hey, kind of want to go to Portland today, and I can just drive to Portland.
Yeah.
that's a fun thing you can do. Yeah. And I've done it, and it's great. And mm-hmm. I think everybody should do it if mm-hmm. they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's real freedom.
That hot sunny day was beautiful. I went to Wreck Beach for the first time yeah. this summer.
Yeah. You toast your buns?
I did. I didn't get a sunburn. I was very happy about that. Good. I was constantly reapplying to all of my bits, and it was good. yeah, I just spent the whole day down there with our friend Allison and Tania. And
rock and roll.
Just like, I was, you know, just chilling. It was lovely.
That's great.
I went swimming a whole bunch of times. It was really nice. The water was like super like silty and muddy because it's right near the Fraser River. So it was just like this weird. I had gone swimming in Gibson's the previous weekend and the water there feels like therapeutically clean and it's like good for your skin and stuff. And at Wreck Beach, it's like, don't put your head under the water. You might get an eye infection.
But also, like Wreck Beach, the sand is so nice. And then Gibson's, yes. I didn't see any beaches that weren't rock.
Davis Bay is the only one when the tide's out okay. really far. But I like the pebbly rock beaches. It makes it, like, it just makes the water cleaner, I think.
That's possible.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because the sand just makes everything's kind of cloudy.
Well, that was the really cool thing about this. I think it's a man-made lake, or it's at least they stock the lake with fish.
Person-made lake.
Oh, my God.
Human-made.
Oh, my God. I love that. I'm so angry, but in a great way. It's like, sorry, it could have been a woman-made lake.
Yeah.
Mother Gaia might have made it. I actually don't know if it's a human-made lake. I think it's a real lake that they've artificially stocked with fish. So there's apparently fairly good fishing up there. But it was so clear. There was really limited reediness. I didn't catch any leeches or anything like that. But there's a huge drop-off from the going into the water. It's like, oh, it's only up to 2 feet. And then suddenly it's like you're 5 feet underwater.
Oh,
so coming out is really hard. Getting in is fast. You're like, oh, just a little bit. Oh, just a little bit. Oh, my whole of me. My whole entire me. I like the water, but I'm not as much of a water baby as I used to be. I'm not as comfortable in it as I once was. But mm-hmm. boy, I just can't stop talking about it because I'm never somebody who goes out in nature for extended periods of time like that. And I was like, oh, I actually do like it.
Yay!
I thought I didn't.
That's so nice.
To do.
Aw, yay. We should do a camping podcast one time.
Absolutely.
That would be fun. We should totally do that. Okay. I'm thinking about buying a tent even.
What? Wild.
Go to bed in my van. We can all crash there.
Ooh, let's get in Joe's van bed. This van's a rockin'. We're probably trying to put our pajamas on.
Absolutely. Or setting up the sound collecting device.
Sound collecting device. A microphone.
I got my first,
don't do that
I got
to the
my
microphone.
First, I got my first two-piece since I was very, very young.
Oh, a bathing suit.
Yeah.
I thought you meant microphones still.
No. A two-piece bathing suit. So I'm really excited about that.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. That's exciting. What does it look like?
It's my favorite color, like the corally
okay.
color that I usually have my nails painted. And then the bottoms are a little bit small. I'm trying to find different bottoms to wear. Because I do have a very large C-section scar from giving birth to a guy who's 6'1".
Fair enough.
He wasn't that much smaller when I gave birth to him.
Oh, God, could unfold him to take him out of
place like a baby horse.
He was 2 feet.
A baby horse!
He was 2 feet tall when he was born.
That's so long.
Yeah, he was huge.
That's
really
huge.
Big. They have the little, like, it's not like an incubator thing with the little carriage things that they have babies in, and he, like, hit the top and the bottom and he'd stretch out, and they're like, that's not, like, he was, like, almost flowing out of it. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God, long baby is long.
It was really funny.
That's really cute.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute when you're not doing it.
Yes. There's a reason it's cute when they haven't ripped him out of your body.
There is a reason why I have one child.
There's, I just noticed all of the new bathing suits that went up on Forever21Plus.com.
Mm-hmm. I saw some because I went to the Metrotown.
Oh, do they have the actual
plus size section?
They have the actual
plus size section in
good.
It. And they had this cute, like, cherries with ruffles. I almost bought it. Anyway.
A rockabilly bathing suit, basically.
Yeah, it's cute.
There was one that I loved, and if it was in, it is basically in that coral color, but it is, for my skin tone, it would just look like my flesh. Like, it was a little too close, and it had this cool mesh netting up top, and it said salty on across the boobs. We're like, oh my God, sea hag swimsuits. Put them on. Except we both probably look dreadful in them.
Yep.
Like little salty dumplings.
Yeah, not super into that.
You get fan people walking around wearing them.
Yeah.
And handing out stickers.
It would be cute, like, to have
we should have a bikini team.
Sponsor.
I was thinking make t-shirts, but, like, make t-shirts that say salty on them, but at the same time, bikini street team does sound pretty great.
It's pretty great. Or just be anybody of any body size or shape wearing those big, oversized t-shirts that have a bikini body spray painted on them. It's like our sexy bikini team is out in full force today.
Oh my God.
It'd be super fun.
Do you think our podcast will ever need a street team?
I think we desperately need a street
Everyone
team.
Everyone needs a street team. You guys definitely deserve deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
You're right. The Forever 21 plus size bathing suit edition is amazing.
Oh, you looked it up.
Yeah, of course. Yes. What else am I going to do
Salty.
With
my time? Yeah, I really like their stuff is really cute, and I did get a bathing suit from them that's got a very sexy swoop down the front that has like a little ladder of gold beads to swoop up my cleavage section. And, yeah, it's pretty sexy. Might try it on, might let you see it, Chris.
Cool.
If you want to.
Cool.
Tight.
I'm right in that middle of not quite being plus size, which is, whatever.
Yeah, parts of me are, and other parts of me are.
It just means that I never fit anything properly, but. Yeah.
Exactly. My butt's plus size, but my other parts aren't. It's,
that's great.
It's very confusing to my body and clothing.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. So so camping was really good. Wrist is getting better and weird dreams. And I think that's pretty much it for me.
I got some interesting news on Monday. The BC NDP and BC Greens have made an agreement to be in government and, like, support a minority NDP government, which is the very first, left-wing green coalition ever in North America, so it's, like, pretty historical and shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
And my life is gonna change dramatically in ways that I have no idea what. Like, there's all kinds of...
How does that feel?
Neat. Feels neat and exciting, but, like, maybe I'm nervous because my stomach's been really fucked up for the last couple of days, but I also have a new medication that I'm trying that, like, really makes my stomach angry. So
It's probably both.
Like, excitement
really
and whatever, but, yeah, government, that's neat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I cried about it. It's pretty interesting.
Done a lot of crying this week?
I might actually get to, like, see some amazing social change happen, like...
That would be great.
Like, I read the agreement, and there's so much stuff in there about, like, yes, we both agree that, like, preventative healthcare and, like, basically legalize heroin, basically, like,
yeah, get
tons of stuff.
Delegalize pipelines and...
Yeah, stop Kinder Morgan, which is amazing. Like, mm-hmm. So much stuff that I'm really excited about. Like, actual good things happening in the province, so...
And right after we had all kind of resigned ourselves to, looks like some more of the same.
Yeah, but thank you for cooperation.
Thanks, Andrew Weaver. Sorry we made fun of you on this podcast.
It's fine. Like, I'm not going to be super nice. Like, they're not part of our team. They're still their own separate thing that...
Yeah.
They will run against us in the next election, try to beat us.
Yeah, but those two better bro down hard for now.
They went to a rugby game together. They apparently went to, like, this is the two leaders of the parties that, like, they went to rival high schools, apparently. So, like, we have a friendly, we have, like,
hilarious.
A friendly rivalry. And I'm like, that's great. That's fine. And
sure.
So, like, they're going to be adversarial to make each other better instead of cut each other down, which is,
good.
That's a nice way to put it.
That's
so
great.
I'm excited.
That's great.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, like... I'm on edge about it.
Yeah.
I guess. And so I also went for acupuncture, and my acupuncturist put, like, pins in certain parts of my body, and, like, it sent, like, lightning bolts up.
Oh.
Like, so there's, like, a bruise right here where she put it in, and I...
Your body rejected it.
It rejected it. I flared my wrist and, like, nearly hit her in the face.
A needle practically shot out of you.
Yeah. It was crazy. She's like, whoa, you're really wound up. So, like...
Oh, jeez.
I wound up laying there for, like, an hour and a half. Like, she kind of tried to, like... It made my digestion a lot better, which is good.
That's good.
And, like, she's like, come back again sooner than next week, please. So I'm going to try to go again soon.
Wow. Yeah, I booked an appointment for Monday to try a community acupuncture. So
nice.
I just love getting poked. Like,
I really love it.
It feels like crazy drugs sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like I respond really well to traditional Chinese medicine for some reason.
Yeah.
But
I tried it much for me.
Yeah, lot of people have that experience where it's like, it just didn't do anything, but mine, it's just like, woof, like, I can feel it, like, in my veins, like, whatever connections they put together. Yeah, whatever connections they put together, I can feel the pulse, like, working those, like, whatever. It's cool. It really, really, really chills me out.
Good.
And she managed to unwind a lot of weird internal shit somehow, and I'm like, I don't care if it's scientifically provable, it makes me feel way better.
Yeah. Mm.
And, but I literally have this weird bruise on my wrist now. She couldn't do any, like, she tried to do some, even me tapping it, I can feel it radiating into
weird.
My hand. So there's something weird with my, like, extremities right now. Hmm. Just really fucking keyed up, but I can't deal with it on my own, so I'm getting help.
Yeah, just, like, little whirlwinds inside of
you. Yeah, I should probably exercise. There's a lot of energy in there that needs to, like, be released, so maybe I'll go for a swim tomorrow.
That's probably why I'm so crabby lately. It's just because I haven't been able to exercise. They're like, well, you could do cardio, Kate. I'm like, yeah, and you can go fuck yourself.
That's all I do is cardio. But yeah, swimming too. Aquafit is so much freaking fun.
Do you do Aquafit?
I'd be interested in trying Aquafit.
I do whenever I can. I'll send you guys invites. But Britannia has it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. So every night, but, weekends. And it's amazing. But you just pay for swimming. Because I'm like, you know, a student with a kid. So I don't really have much in the way of money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they do, Britannia Rec Center's got great stuff going on there.
Nice. And I have my pass.
At night. It's very fun.
My pass to go to there.
Mm-hmm. I try that out. I just need to not dunk my head because I'm too beautiful.
Well, you can wear a swim cap, which would be
No, I'm too beautiful. Too beautiful for a swim cap. I'm
just kidding. You don't have to dye your head. I left with dry hair. And then went in the sun afterwards for a little bit.
Oh, right on. That sounds so good.
But even you can use the gym and the pool there. So you can,
Sweet.
I do, a half an hour jog. And then I can't even really swim. I just kind of, float and feel relaxed.
Yeah. I had a pool, a sauna, and a hot tub in my apartment.
Yeah,
you use it for free sometime.
That is so cool. Yeah.
That's an invite to everyone on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
If you know me well enough to have me on Facebook, you can probably ask to come over and I'll probably let you. I really like when people come visit me. I don't like to go out that much, but I love having people over and cooking for them.
So that's the upside of your strata.
What's that?
That's the upside of your strata, is that you have, because I know you had a problem with your...
Oh, yeah, the snake business. It's fine. That wasn't the strata, it was just one guy. He's not even on the strata, but... Barry. Fucking Barry.
What a dick.
Have you seen him since?
Never! He's hiding from me. He knows he should. He's probably listening right now.
He just got really red. Are you worried that he is actually listening?
No. No, because I haven't promised violence. I've just promised to stare at him angrily.
And spiders.
And spiders. Wishing spiders.
Spiders.
Spoiters?
No, not spiders.
What are spoiters?
It's a whole thing. It's just a whole... It's dumb. Never mind. It's somebody else's joke, and if you didn't get the reference, then it doesn't matter. Now I'm embarrassed.
Good. Now we have to somehow make Joe go red.
Okay.
Then we'll complete the trifecta. Does anything embarrass you? No.
You what seem was like the, a pretty open book.
What was the thing you didn't want to say on stage that you ended up having
listen
to say?
Listen to Story podcast, and you shall find out. Yeah.
God damn it!
Cooperate.
I am gonna be publishing it. It'll be up next week, I think. I've got a weird week of a lot of shows and stuff, which is nice.
You do a lot of shows.
I don't feel like I do. Since I started doing stand up, but I'm hosting The Flame, which is Vancouver's original. Storytelling show?
We have a storytelling show.
Is it
The Flame?
Is it like the moth?
It's like the moth,
but it draws to the flame. Oh, yeah, cute.
So, Deb Williams and her partner Joel, performing partner Joel, wanted to get the moth up here. 10 years ago, kept writing them letters, kept getting sorry. We don't have the market for Canada. Da, 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 and they were in love with the moth, and so they decided to start The Flame. And so it's at Cottage Bistro, the first Wednesday of every month.
Nice.
And it's great.
We had one of those. I knew
It's the 8-year finale this year. But so the funny thing is that Cottage Bistro, and it always, so the show starts at 7 o'clock on the Wednesday, which is early.
Yeah.
And the place is filled up, sold out by 6 o'clock.
Huh.
Wow.
That's everyone awesome. Just goes straight there after work, has dinner and watches.
They have a really good whiskey.
And they asked me to host it, which is so weird because they've had, the other people they had hosting was TJ Daw, who's Canadian's favorite solo show performer. And I'm not in Montana. I'm just making a little joke because he was my dramaturg as well as my mentor. And Morgan Brayton, who's a big deal. Uh-huh. So these two big deal performers that have been around for 20 years, and then they asked me to do it, which is really weird to me. But I'm glad they did.
I don't know. I see your face all over the place on posters and people.
That's because I put them all around your neighborhood. I'm glad to hear that. Good.
That's true.
I'm trying to get good at self-promoting. It's hard. I don't always have the confidence.
People say a lot of really, really good things about you. Wow, yeah, Joe works really hard. Seems like she always has a show going. So if you don't feel like you're doing enough, everybody else thinks you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing a lot of writing right now, and I'm finding because I'm dyslexic and I'm writing a book, and it's hard.
Yeah, it would be.
Believe
Do you
or
find
not.
Hard, reading or writing more difficult?
Getting a story out has been okay. Actually, are we allowed to talk about mental health issues? Uh-huh. A huge bout of depression in February, because I went through a breakup last year, but we're still talking to each other. We got to a point where we realized we shouldn't talk to each other anymore, and it was really hard.
So a double breakup.
Yeah, it was really hard, and so that really sucked, and then I was in the program, and you have to read everybody else's work too, the Writer's Studio,
SFU,
a little plug for them. So there's 9 people in our program, and what we do is, every other week we get 5 articles to read. And then we edit them ourselves, and then we discuss it in a group. And it teaches you how to look at different formats of writing and how to edit things and how to be a publisher. And you learn so much about it. But the reading was so hard, and I was depressed because I didn't have my ex around to talk to anymore. Mm-hmm. And ended up getting super suicidal in a 2-day period.
Oh,
which was, and that's when I stopped doing it. I've only done stand-up once since then. That was terrifying. Luckily, I was institutionalized years back. So I'm in, like, the system. So when I called them up and I was like, I'm feeling suicidal, they had me, like, write in and seeing a therapist and doing better.
Wow.
But she figures that it was, you know, like, too many life changes. Like, quit my job so I don't have a real income anymore. And dealing with the breakup and that kind of loss. And going to school and hoping I'd be good at it and really feeling like I wasn't good at it. Ugh, it was really, really terrifying. Altogether,
that's so many things.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's really...
And it's February, which is already a difficult month.
And it's February, which is a difficult month. Yeah.
Thank God it's only 28 days. It's so, it's always hard.
Yeah,
for
that's
me.
A really good point. Thank God it's only 28 days. So, like, luckily it was like 2-3 weeks and I got out of it, and that's the fastest I've ever recovered from a depression.
Well,
like
yeah, you were able to like be like, oh, that's what this is, and deal with it immediately instead of just being like,
oh, maybe it's gonna be.
Well,
fine,
and also like for anybody that ever feels suicidal, like I just that's just where my brain goes to. Like I just have a level of depression, and I wasn't given positive reinforcement when I was a kid. Like if I was depressed, I was told like. You know, like, well, don't bother trying to kill yourself because you're going to fail. Like,
oh,
that's,
God.
Yeah.
I figured you were going to say just suck it up or something, which is even more constructive than what I just heard.
No, I just wasn't, I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have that feeling of, like, you'll be okay. You're a good person. I didn't have that.
Yeah, so you didn't get any healthy coping mechanisms for that. It's just
no,
like
I didn't learn that growing up. So
just like an exit door.
So as an
basically.
Adult and then as a mom, that just didn't really happen. And I do go through bouts of being suicidal. And that was the first time in... since 2010, that's the last time I was institutionalized. So what I realized when I get depressed and I want to commit suicide, so if I have that idea that, like, the world is a better place if I kill myself, I make a plan. I'm like, okay, if I feel that way, I need to go 2 months to prove to myself...
That I really feel that way.
That I really feel that way. And I'm going to do everything I can. If I still feel that way, then we'll talk about it. And that's what's always helped me.
So that like,
and I've probably done that in my life 20 times and always end up coming out.
Basically treating yourself better. like you're the parent and you're the child at the same time. It's like, well, if you really want this thing, you have to prove that you want it.
Yeah.
You're
going to
take
it.
Care of this dog.
I feel like that's such a part of being an entrepreneur, I think, too. Cause like my training is in business development.
Yeah. You got to carrot and stick yourself.
So So it's like, if you want to be able to develop a business, well, you start it. If it fails and you fail and you know, what can you do? But
no, I think, and it's funny. That sounds like a very dark thing to say. And I'm sure that people who have not gone through suicidal depression would be like, oh, that's so that's ghastly, but like really that is a strategy to survive.
It is, absolutely.
You're
absolutely.
Like, well, this is terrible and I feel awful, but like it's a very very final choice, so
absolutely.
Let's
and especially
just...
as having a child and the the time before, like, my son was younger and I was suicidal, I really felt that he was better off without me being in the world. I had it in my head, and I was going through like full-blown psychosis, like postpartum psychosis. I really had it in my head that he would only succeed as a human being if I was not in his life, which is a horrible thing to think.
That's and it's super
And
untrue.
I actually had picked
out
his next mom and was, like, matching her up with my, at the time, husband.
Wow.
It was big.
Wow.
It was really, really big.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So.
Like, yeah, it's not, it doesn't, depression does not fuck around.
Mm-hmm. No, it does not.
Actually, really fucks around a lot.
Yeah.
But it's serious,
when your
too.
Brain is such a liar. And, like, now you have this, like, seemingly really awesome relationship with your son, which is such a gift.
It is really,
like,
weird,
yeah.
But then that's my, like, one of the, I do date-ish. I try dating, but I think the reason it doesn't always work out is I'm like, I'm just really cool hanging out with my kid right now. And
yeah, it's hard to compete with that.
Yeah. I'm not be able to love anybody as much as I love my kid.
Of course not.
So, you know.
Yeah, and he's fun,
like,
but he's also fun to be around, so.
Yes, and I don't want to introduce him to anybody. And I think it's interesting, like, being on online dating, people being like, oh, no single moms. It's like, well, what if you would never get to meet my kid because you're not good enough for him? Oh, you don't like that? Sorry.
Oh, God. The things that people say that they are like, no, not this thing. Like, no single moms. It just sounds so nasty.
I had a guy on his profile that said that he doesn't like tattooed women. I just look at the photos and whatever, based on first. I mean, they last 2 weeks anyways from my record. Unless I'm with somebody when this is published, in which case, congratulations.
Congratulations, me. Or them, I guess.
Yeah, whoever. Whoever's better off in that relationship, congratulations to you. But he's like, yeah, don't like tattoos on women. And,
well, good.
And I was like, oh, you should really look closer at my photos because...
You have them.
Yeah. Another guy that said no single moms, and I messaged him saying hashtag not all single moms.
That's really... Oh, God, people are dicks.
That's, like, with online dating, like, you just limit your own possibilities, like, for yourself and your own happiness. Like, you might be writing off, like, a really amazing partner just
Absolutely.
Because they had some superficial characteristic that you weren't... like you that you that. You would develop and you would see past that if you met them.
If they were a really big
Katy
Perry fan or something.
Or something, or you like you learn to love it, you learn to accept it, or
am I not supposed to like Katy Perry?
Oh, I don't know. I was just a random example.
You know, but it's like you would change and grow. Like say you met this person, you ran into them, or they were like a coworker and you developed a relationship, like you would like all of your presuppositions about like what a single mom is or whatever would melt, but it's like when you have this like profile,
cold facts.
Yeah, then it's just the facts, and then it's like, oh nope, just based on those things, and it's like, man, like you're really robbing yourself of the chance to like have a cool connection with somebody.
Yeah,
it's sad. I'm very glad that I never had to do online dating.
Just fall into relationships.
Yeah, because I play a lot of music, and you meet fun people when you do cool stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. I should do cool stuff.
And musicians are slutty.
You do cool stuff.
I do, but I also not like dating people in the performing world, because I'm not, I'm just not somebody that they should date. Like, I had a friend mention that they saw me on Tinder, and I was like, you know, I didn't swipe that I would want, because I like you, and we should not be together. yeah. I don't usually want what other people want, so, you know.
What do you want?
Well, I've been quite poly.
Yeah.
So, I've been enjoying that. It was very sad on Valentine's Day because I was, you know, a non-monogamous person in zero relationships. So my friend's like, I'm going out for lunch with my husband and dinner with my boyfriend and then a sleepover at my girlfriend's house. I'm like, yeah.
That's great.
I'm hanging out with my cat.
I will be buying the discount chocolate tomorrow and thank you, sir. Good day.
They didn't have that. Safeway sold out. They had the next morning, there was no heart-shaped chocolates on the shelves.
I found the very same problem.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
And that's usually the highlight of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sons of bitches.
They know the scheme. They know our.
That's like, they know that's the only day that we get real joy.
Yeah, they just clear the shelves out and then sell it to us next year.
It's like the sad girl's dream, basically, is to like walk through the halls and like, oh, I'll take this Russell Stover's, I'll take that pot of gold, and I'm gonna go home and cry while watching Golden Girls reruns.
I was cycled perfectly
perfect
too, so that I had like really bad PMS, like very, very sad on Valentine's Day, and then like the next day I just need chocolate.
Smack in the middle
of
February.
You know what I had to do the next day? Buy regular priced chocolate.
That's horseshit.
So sad.
Single people should get free Valentine's chocolate.
I agree.
Absolutely. Just be like, I'm sad. I have this, please. And they go, yes, you can.
I always like the
person.
Fact, too, that people think that people that are single are always sad and people that are married are always happy.
Oh, my God.
I don't
really
know how it works.
Nope. You can be either anytime.
Yeah.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Turns out. You can be either
yeah,
anytime.
Relationships are a lot of work, so it was being single. So.
Yeah, then you're in a relationship with yourself.
But in general,
no one to distract you from your own shit.
Yeah, and I'm such a bitch.
Yeah. I think you're likable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank God someone does. It's so necessary.
Yeah. God knows I don't. That's one of the funny things. So on online dating, when you get a match, you get a message saying, oh, congratulations, you have a match. I'm like, oh, yes, someone likes me based on my photo. Thank you.
Ooh,
I didn't know I was attractive.
I was of no value 2 minutes ago.
Papa forbade mirrors in the house, and I only got outside just yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Being
so
alive is tough.
Thank you so much for coming and talking
to us. Thank you for having
me.
It's been very fun.
We went on quite a roller coaster of, like, dark and funny and dark and funny, and that's real life, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Well, thank you for having me on. This was lovely.
Do you want to plug your stuff again?
This will be airing on Monday evening / Tuesday morning.
Perfect. The Flame's happening Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Cafe... Cottage Bistro. Story Store Lies June 10th at Café du Soleil, and that's the Saturday. That's the last one I'll be a part of this year because we have the open mic in July, which is going to be so cool.
Okay.
Matt Loeb, who is a slam poet, he hosts quite a few of the slam poet nights. He's going to be hosting it for me the open mic in July.
Oh, right, because you're going to be crossing Canada.
Yeah. Somewhere
okay
in the middle of Canada. So he'll be hosting that for me, and people that want to tell a story and haven't had a chance to are welcome to go up. They're going to be an amazing prize. I always pick up weird prizes on Craigslist. I picked up these air couches, like, you know, the ones you like whoosh, whoosh.
Oh, those things.
Yeah, so that's the prize for the open mic one.
They look so nice.
Yeah,
because like people were using them at Rec Beach and they were either like on the sand with them or floating in the water.
Absolutely.
In them, and it was like, I actually really want one to lay bag.
So I'm giving one
whatever.
Away at the next Story Alliance on June 10th, and then the open mic winner, so the performer that tricks the most people wins that one for the open mic, and then they also get a paid spot next year.
Fantastic.
Are always paid at Story Store Live. And then we're also looking at doing some touring. I'll be taking it to Nanaimo and perhaps Cumberland or whatever it's called, back in Gibson's in August, yeah. Back in Victoria before the Fringe Festival, so we can help promote some of the Victoria Fringers in August.
Nice.
Yeah, and then in the next 5 years, my book will be coming out.
Excellent. Awesome. We'll have you back.
Still need a publisher for that.
We'll have you back to talk about your book for sure. Mm-hmm. We'll have you back before then, too. And then Fruit Salad is on Thursdays
at 7 p.m.
Excellent.
On 100.5 FM and Story Story Lie, the podcast. Check that out. It's all good. And then awesome. Families Across Canada, we're on Instagram.
I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I'm Joe. And I guess that's how we're ending it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, bye.
I like that.